Good evening. How is everybody tonight? Amen. Amen. All right, tonight, I've been doing a lot of thinking about tonight's message. It's something that's been on my heart for a little bit. And tonight, I hope you came prepared to receive. Tonight, I want to talk about expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Okay? You know, we pray for miracles, but I want you to expect a miracle. Being a child of God, our Father is the miracle worker. It should be nothing. We shouldn't be amazed when a miracle happens. Shouldn't be amazed by it. So if you would, I want to start out in Matthew. I'd encourage each and every one of you to have your Bibles with you and follow along with me. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of God's word for it. And turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 35. Matthew 6, 35. Matthew 6:35. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Mark 6:35. My bad. Hey, give me a break. Alaskan Pollock. Come on, man. I'm sorry. Mark 6:35. Let me know when you're there. Everybody there? All right. I am here. Are we ready? Let's get into this. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him. Came unto who? Came unto Jesus. And said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. I want you to take notice real quick how the disciples came to Jesus in this instance. Okay? And said, send them away, that they may go into the country round about. And into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give you them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy bread, 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Okay, now here we got 5,000 men. We're not talking about the women and children that were present too. So we're looking more around 10, 15,000. Okay? So in this instance, I want you to notice how the disciples approached Jesus about the multitude, about sending them away because they were hungry. Okay? Now what I want you to do is I want you to flip over into chapter 8 of Mark. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In those, we're starting in verse 1, by the way. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them. Notice in this instance, Jesus called his disciples unto him. The first time the disciples approached Jesus. Now we've seen the miracle of the 5,000, right? So this time, Jesus called them. He says, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from where can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? What? Why would they ask that question? That's a question that should have never been asked. And look at this. This is only one chapter difference. He just got through feeding the 5,000. And they asked that question. Where are we going to get the bread to feed all these people? Okay, let's continue on. And his disciples answered him, "From where can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" If you remember, God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven. And he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fish. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. So here we go. At first we see 5,000. Now we got 4,000. And they asked a question, where are we to get the bread to feed all these people? And they just seen the miracle of the 5,000. These are the disciples. They were with him. They seen this. Okay? And Jesus started out in this chapter. He's the one that approached them this time. And he said, listen, we got to feed these people. It's kind of like a little test. See where they're at. See if they remembered. Obviously, they didn't. How many times in our lives do things happen like that? God will do something in our lives, something great, a miracle, which we should expect. But then, on down the road, something comes up against us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in this instance? And it's probably even not as bad as it was in the last one. Expect a miracle. That's your Father. Go back to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, not Matthew. Come on, man. Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start out in 45. I wanted to cover those two before we went on in Mark 6. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Take notice how Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. When you're in your circumstances and your storms of life, guess what? Jesus sees you. He knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. What? He would have passed them by. He's seen them out there toiling and rowing. And it says here that he would have passed them by. He was ready just to walk right on by. He knew what was going on. But he was ready to walk by. Thank you, Father. But, there's that word, but. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. But they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship. And the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Expect a miracle. Don't be sore amazed. Okay? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, I know a lot of you come to Bible study, and a lot of times we hit on the heart. Okay? Listen, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Okay? We have a work that needs to be done in our hearts, each and every one of us. You got to watch in these circumstances that you're in these storms of life that you're in, that your heart doesn't harden. You don't want your heart to harden. That's why it's important in these storms that you're in, no matter how you feel, we don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by emotions. We walk by His Word. He didn't say we wouldn't feel emotions. He didn't say we wouldn't have those. But in those times, praise Him. Thank Him. I'm telling you right now, it works. It works. You know, right now, God has blessed me so much. It's one miracle after another. And at this point, I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting that next miracle. Because that's my Father. That's how much He loves me. I have a beautiful wife that I was not looking for. Okay? I have a good job that I was not looking for. God blessed me with all of that. I'm a pastor. The desire of my heart, since I was saved, has come to pass. And I'm telling you right now, it has not been easy. It has not been easy. It's been a battle after battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. But you know what? It got to the point where it was like, well, how's that working for you with the murmuring and complaining? It's not working. It's keeping me in it. Come on, man. It's keeping me right where I'm at. I'm not going nowhere. So what it took in those times was for me to start praising Him and thanking Him. There was a time when I worked at Kmart and I was riding a bicycle from Anaka Heights to Kmart every day through the snow, through the rain. Whatever it took, I made it. It was not fun. It hurt in here. Like I said, there's a work that needs to be done in each and every one of your hearts. Listen. Listen, we're getting close to that time. This is no time to play around anymore. There is no time to play around. Listen, Romans 8:19 says, the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? So all creation is sitting back. Where are they at? I don't see them. What's going on? Listen. This is who we are. We are God's children, okay? We are children of light. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have God in us. We've got to get this in our hearts. You could hear so many preachings, but I'm telling you, and Pastor Bill said this morning, if it's not dropping from here to here, it's not going to happen, okay? You've got to get it here. It's about the heart. It's all about the heart. There's no way around it. There's the ground of your heart, okay? There's wayside, there's stony, and there's thorny ground, okay? Well, let's get into that. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Listen, when I say expect a miracle, I don't want you to think a miracle in your head, okay? I want you to expect a miracle in here, knowing that's your Father. Knowing your Father is the miracle worker, okay? Knowing that you have been delivered. You have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You're not going to be delivered. You have been delivered. And if you're still struggling with things, guess what? You need to get it in your heart. And until it drops from here to here, you're going to stay where you're at. All right? Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. And He began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in His doctrine, hearken, or listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you, look here, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So listen, if you don't know this parable, you're not going to know any other parable. And he goes down and he starts to break it down to them. Okay? And he says, The sower sows the word. So when I'm up here, or Pastor Bill's up here, or Pastor Rich is up here, or Pastor Lane's up here, or Pastor Wanda's up here, and we're up here and we're preaching the word of God, we're sowing that seed. Okay? We're sowing it. It's sown into your heart. All right? So you're all familiar with farming. Okay? You know how you plant a seed? You sow the seed. Okay? Let's continue on. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Satan comes immediately to take that word that was sown in your heart. That's why God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. How do you guard your heart? When you hear that message, you hear that word, you go home and you meditate on it. You get home, you start reading on it, okay? You need to guard it, because guess what? He's coming immediately. This is no game. You can't afford not to keep this in your heart. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Have you ever noticed that sometimes? Somebody's preaching and it's like, woo-hoo! Yeah! Woo! Come on! Immediately, right? They receive it with gladness. But guess what? They have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So when something's coming against them that they don't feel should be happening to them, well, I'm a child of God, this shouldn't be happening to me. Immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Don't be fooled by riches, okay? God wants you to prosper, but He also wants your heart to be in the right place. Okay? It's so important. The heart is so important. Out of it flows the issues of life. God knows your heart. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? What's your motive behind doing things for God? He knows. Your heart needs to be in that right place. Here's the good news. He which begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You've got to come to the realization where, you know what, God? I can't do this. That's when Pastor Bill said that this morning, I was like, bing! I can't do this. You do it. You do it. Because it's not going to be me. Listen, each and every one of you are going to have a trial of faith. All right? I want you to know that. I want you to turn to... Thank you, Father. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 1. And you know what? Let's just start out in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's going to be a trial of your faith. If you didn't know that, you've just been informed. Okay? Listen, when that comes, I want you to know this. What we just talked about tonight, what went out tonight. In those times, in those circumstances, praise Him. It doesn't matter how you feel. You could feel terrible. If I went by how I felt, it'd be all over. But in those times, praise Him. Thank Him. Give Him the honor. Give Him the praise. Because believe it or not, that's going to get you out of it quicker. You murmur and complain. Like the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. An 11-day journey. 40 years. Because they were murmuring and complaining. We can get through it quicker by praising Him and thanking Him. So tonight, we got a lot in tonight, but I'm not done yet. Expect a miracle. Okay? One. Expect a miracle. Two, the ground of your heart. You've got to focus on your heart, okay? You do that through here. This is the cultivator. This breaks up the fallow ground. Nicole, stand up for a second. Brush your hair back. Okay. You see this? Rooted. All right? Here's the roots. Here's your heart right here. Okay? You want them roots. You want them to take plant right into your heart. That's God's Word. Here's God's Word. Here's the seed being sown. Right? Seed's being sown. When you're watering it with the Word, the roots are going deep. They're taking hold in your heart. And I've used this analogy before. If you ever seen a sidewalk where the roots are so big, they come down and they start breaking apart that sidewalk. All the junk that's in your heart If you put this in, it's going to break it up and push all that other stuff out. Okay? Don't forget, Satan comes immediately. You've got to guard your heart. This is not a game. If you go home after a service and sit down and watch TV, you're making it easy for him to come in and take that. All right, we're his children. We need to be rooted and grounded in him. Jesus Christ is the Word. This is where you need to be rooted and grounded. Thank you. Everybody give Nicole a hand. Yay! All right, I want to go one more place. Well, actually, I'm going to go two more places. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Everybody there? James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Nothing. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Notice the corresponding action. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What's your work? Your work's to believe him. Believe what he says. Believe his promises. Believe that when he says in Second Chronicles, you don't have to turn here, but I want you to write it down. Second Chronicles, he says this. And I read this today, and I felt as if this was what is being said to you tonight. Okay. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Starting in verse 15. And he said, hearken you, all Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Listen. Get this in your heart. The battle is not yours. It's his. If God be for me, who could be against me? Nobody. No one. All it takes is for you to believe him, Get it into your heart and get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Let him work. Okay? And believe what he says here. That's our work, to believe this. Corresponding action to what he says in here. That's what I wanted to get across tonight. So remember, expect a miracle. The ground of your heart. Faith without works is dead. Faith without believing him is dead. Believe in what he says. Corresponding actions to his word. So Heavenly Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name, Father God. And I just thank you, Father, for your word that went out tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you that you got across what you wanted to get across tonight, Father. I praise you for it, Father. I give you the glory and honor for it, Lord. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the seed that was sown tonight, Father God, in each and every heart here, that they go back and they water that seed, Father. That's their part. That's our part. The watering part is our part. And I thank you for that, Father. And Father, I just pray a hedge of protection over each and every person here. And I thank you that you are a wall of fire around about them in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you're here tonight and you have any need whatsoever, if you have a healing that you need, come up. We'll pray for you. Expect a miracle. Okay? If you have any need that needs to be met tonight, come up. We will agree with you in prayer. Expect a miracle. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, you've never asked him into your heart, come up and see me, and we can take care of that tonight. Other than that, I'll see you all later.